You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today I'll be reading from Dance Princess Dance, Part 8, Bluebells and Clover. The boy's name was Foxglove, and he was beautiful. He laughed as he led Chase through the club, his pale skin flashing pink and green and blue. Where were those lights even coming from? Foxglove pressed drink after drink into Chase's hand as the night went on, and they all tasted so sweet, like oranges in summer and pomegranates at Yule. Foxglove's kisses tasted of wine and promises, like something that Chase had been looking for all his life. "Why are you running?" another boy cried after him. "Don't leave, Chase!" He spun around and he wasn't in the club of the flashing lights and sweet drinks anymore. He was in a field, far from the castle, and that little boy over there with silver eyes and white gold hair, that was his brother. The brother he'd been allowed to keep. "Chase, don't run!" Cyrus called out. "Slow down!" "No!" Chase hollered behind him. "You run faster! Keep up, old man!" His brother was 8 minutes older than him. Neither of them ever let the other forget that. Chase ran through a maze of hedges that slapped and bit at his face. He ran until his lungs hurt and he was ready to hurl. "Wake up," said another voice. "Chase, you're scaring us." There was a low, sexy chuckle from above him. Chase looked up to where his beautiful dance partner, the boy with purple eyes, lay sprawled across the top of the maze hedge like a cat sunning himself. "I'm not sure where you think you're going, Prince," said Foxglove. "This place doesn't have a way out." "Everywhere has a way out," said Chase, already doubting himself. "Not once they've tasted a pomegranate seed paradise. Such an unforgiving cocktail." Chase ignored Foxglove, plunging on through the maze. "Everywhere has a way out. Everywhere has a way out." He opened his eyes, and his bedroom was full of people. Jax, kneeling on the edge of his bed, reared back as if he had hit her. "Your Highness," said another voice, sounding shaky. Chase turned and saw Dennis, the new hound cadet, by the window. He looked exhausted and miserable. Ziggy was here too. They called her Ziggy now that she was a cadet, though Chase was damned if he could even remember what name she went by during her princess phase. Sergeant Clay, his arms folded, standing next to a weather-beaten Palorman soldier Chase had never seen before. When he saw that the prince was awake, Sarge spun around without speaking and went through the connecting door to Cyrus's suite. His soldier friend followed him. "Where were you?" Jax demanded fiercely. "I don't know what you're talking about, sweetheart," Chase muttered. "I was dreaming, that's all." "You weren't here," she insisted. "We got it hours ago. You weren't here, Chase. Your bed was empty. Cyrus's too. But when dawn came, we turned around and there you were, back in bed, like you'd never been gone." Chase frowned at her. It was far too early in the morning for games. So that was 3 hours ago. We couldn't wake you at all. Cyrus is still..." She caught herself. "Do you feel like you've been drugged? Or, I don't know, is it some kind of spell?" "This place doesn't actually have a way out." "I didn't go anywhere," Chase repeated, shoving back the covers. He was fully dressed except for his feet, which were raw, blistered, covered in the ruins of yet another pair of dance slippers. He never remembered putting the damn things on, though he had got rather good at hiding the evidence the next morning. Jax stared at his feet. "Cyrus will tell you," Chase snapped, getting up and hobbling across the room. "I'm fine. Everything is normal. Don't..." In the doorway to Cyrus's room, he stopped, because Camilla and Sergeant Clay were bent over the bed. Cyrus was still very much unconscious. Camilla looked up, her eyes catching Chase's. She looked furious and frightened. "What did you two do?" she hissed. "I," said Chase. It wasn't often that he was lost for words. "I ran away and he couldn't catch me." While everyone else crowded around Prince Cyrus's bed, trying to wake up the prince and interrogate Prince Chase over where they'd been all at the same time, Dennis was on a different mission. He had spent the night trying to keep Princess Camilla calm as she waited the return, so she hoped, of her missing brothers. Corporal Jack had gone to find the Sarge and returned not only with him but also Ziggy and Sergeant Clay's long-lost best soldier friend and Kai, of all people. They were also busy arguing about what to do if the princess never came back. Not one of them noticed the exact moment when they did, in fact, reappear in their beds. That was suspicious, right? That meant magic. This was way above Dennis's pay grade. Sergeant Clay was here, and Jack, and even two fully conscious members of the royal family. Plenty of people outranked him. His job was to wait until one of them told him what to do. But in the meantime, he crossed the room to Kai, who stood by the door, miserable and out of place, like he was hoping no one would notice him at all. Dennis made eye contact and then a gesture to make it clear he wanted to talk privately. "I know I shouldn't be here," Kai said in a low voice, as they stepped back into Prince Chase's suite where things were quieter. "Damn right you shouldn't," said Dennis. "I swear, if I see one thing that happened here tonight in the Charming Herald..." "I won't," Kai protested. "I wouldn't." Dennis gave him a sceptical look because, come on, he had. He did. "I didn't write that article," Kai said, not for the first time. "I promised Camilla, I mean Her Highness, that I would help her find out what was happening with those dancing shoes. And yeah, I was stupid to tell Amira about it. I learned my lesson. I swear, Dennis, all I want to do now is help." Dennis took a deep breath. "Okay," he said finally. "I believe you." Kai hesitated and then ventured a small smile, which did not help Dennis's crush situation at all. "You do?" "You still have to leave. Now, as soon as they stop arguing, they'll be bringing the king in on this." By stone and sky, Dennis hoped that the task of informing His Majesty would not be given to him. "And you seriously need to be elsewhere when that happens." Kai nodded, surprising him. "You're right. I don't want to make things worse for everybody." They stood there looking at each other for a long moment. "Go," said Dennis. So Kai, "Yeah, okay, let me know if..." He turned quickly, tripping over his feet as he went. Only he couldn't go, because the door would not budge. "Let me," said Dennis, lending a shoulder to the effort. The door shifted an inch or so, but there was some kind of massive obstruction pressing back against them. Kai slid his fingers through the crack they were able to make and came back with a broken piece of grass wound around his finger. "That's not good." "The window," said Dennis. They hurried to it together, pulling back the velvet curtains. Earlier, when Prince Chase first awoke, there had been the silvery fingers of dawn casting beams of light through the cracks in the curtain. It should be bright by now, well and truly morning. It wasn't bright. Kai pushed up the window, revealing a springy wall of greenery with tufts of white and blue flowers here and there, blocking the view entirely. "The castle is surrounded," said Dennis, feeling sick. "These rooms," said Kai. "It's not just the castle. It's these rooms that are surrounded." He plunged his hands into the greenery, tearing off handfuls and pressing them against Dennis's chest to show him. "Bluebells," he said. "Bluebells and clover." Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at Tansy R. Roberts, and collect a free ebook of my story, Fake Geek Girl, by following this link in the show notes. See you next time.